Are you a marketing or advertising professional looking to stay ahead of the game? Well, we've got the perfect opportunity for you. Advertising Week New York is back for its 19th edition, and it's bigger and better than ever. Picture this: 4 jam-packed days of inspiring keynotes, thought-provoking panels, and networking with the industry's brightest minds. Taking place October 16th through 19th at the Penn District, Advertising Week New York is where the world's top brands, agencies, and leaders come together to shape the future of marketing and advertising. Don't miss this chance to gain insights from the industry's trailblazers, connect with potential clients, and elevate your career. Head over to advertisingweek.com/New York today and buy your pass. Advertising Week New York, the ultimate gathering for marketing and advertising professionals. Be part of the conversation, be part of the innovation, and be part of the future. Measuring TV audiences used to be really simple. Now it's a hot mess. From linear TV to catch-up, fast channels, and subscription streaming apps, it's a TV nightmare for marketers. In this session, taken from Advertising Week APAC 2023, executives from 3 very different media agencies will unpack how they're navigating the data maze to make their clients television addicts. They'll be joined by leaders from Yahoo and Samba TV to unpack a now globally adopted system that is already turning savvy clients' TV nightmares into ratings gold. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Innovation Factory stage. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the Camaray Gal, who lived on the north shore of the harbour for many thousands of years before us. They are the traditional custodians of this land, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders, both past and present. So welcome to the innovation stage for today. Hopefully you had a fantastic day yesterday for Advertising Week. My name's Chris. I sit on the advisory committee. Firstly, we're going to delve into the TV ratings maze to understand how 3 very different businesses are navigating it. We'll stay with TV and look at some of the fundamental building blocks of successful TV advertising in this brave new world. Then we're going to look at the better outcomes for TV data and then give some great insight into the evolution of ad breaks in CTV. Finally, we'll look at how sport has developed on the streaming services and what future of sport is streaming. But without further ado, I pass over to the committee and have a fantastic day.
Thank you very much. How are we all going today? Good. First off, what we might do before I introduce the panelists is we're just going to do a little bit of a roundabout to work out who's actually in the room today. If I call you out, can you please raise your hand and keep it raised? All right, so we're going to start with agencies. Yeah. Brands. Remember to keep your hands raised. Yeah. Tech partners as well. All right, and keep your hand raised if you spent a little bit too long at the Kirribilli Hotel last night. Look, so today's conversation is we're going to delve into the world, the complicated world of TV measurement. Now, if we look at the last 3 to 5 years, the way that consumers actually consume and go through TV has drastically changed. This has been part of the trends that we've gone through, but it's also because the pandemic has amplified this conversation and the way that consumers adopt new pieces of content and new pieces of supply. Now, if we talk about that a little bit further, you know, we know that there's new pieces like Netflix that have come to market with new consumer models. Binge is in market now as well with an ad-supported model. We can go back to the realms of Tubi, et cetera, which have been here for a while as well. These are all new pieces of content which give consumers new actual ability to binge as hard as they want. I've used that word twice now. The Foxtel guys must be loving this. But what this means, right, is that the world of TV is even more fragmented and it's even harder to actually measure. And so with that, the needs of brands and agencies have actually changed at the exact same time. If we go back to before 2023, the Australian market was becoming increasingly frustrated with the lack of standardised TV measurement that solved for that challenge of total TV. What that meant was that there was a gap within the industry, and we actually had consumers and companies from global that came to the Australian market to launch and try to fill that gap. We also had Australian technology providers that actually created new pieces to try and fill that as well. If we come to 2023 now with the launch of VOZ, we now exist in a market where there is not just one singular piece of currency or measurement which can answer for that challenge. We now exist in a multi-measurement market for television, and that's the conversation which we're going to talk about today. The weaknesses of one can be fulfilled by the other, and vice versa, and we're going to try and bring that conversation as much as we can through the four panelists that you see in front of us today. So, with that in mind, I don't need to do the introductions because it's all up on the stage here, all right? We have a whole host of independents, we have Holding Group, and we also have Samba TV, which we're going to talk a little bit around today as well. So firstly, just to kick this off, right, what we're going to do is a little bit of a speed round, and what we're going to talk about is I want you to do a thumbs up or a thumbs down in how you feel about the question that I'm going to throw to you. All right, so is TV measurement better or worse than 5 years ago? Now, you got to commit, come on.
Off the bench, I'll go down.
Yeah? Okay. Will TV be delivered by an aerial in 5 years' time? Yeah. This is changing a little bit from the last time we did this. Will connected TV's share of spend be larger than linear in 5 years' time? Yeah? Okay. And finally, and you know, last but not least, is TV still as important a part of the media mix now as it was 5 years ago? Yaz, you went straight to that.
Mate. Did you already know that question?
You know I'm a TV gal at heart.
So, look, the reason why we did that is because we want to give you a little bit of an understanding of the personalities that you have on stage first. Because, you know, we've got a couple of firebrands, like the Ginger Man himself just here. But what we're going to do, right, is because if we look at that first measurement question, there was a little bit of a, you know, kind of an uneven response to that. I want to kind of dive into that first so that we start to get a bit of a flavour of what we're talking about. Trent, I might just throw to you, right? So why is total TV so hard to measure?
Thanks, Gilbo. I fully appreciate where Will's sitting, and he's sort of sitting on the fence side of things. For me, it's quite obvious that any advancements, any improvements in the way that we measure are a great step forward. You know, we've gone from having just TV in its isolation as a channel where you could measure it relatively straightforward via a panel, relatively small panel, but a panel still, to nowadays where it's a lot more fragmented. And I think there's three things that you sort of alluded to yourself that are actually allowing for this change to be even more difficult than it needs to be. You know, you've got the proliferation of everything from a content standpoint. So there's more acronyms out there. My favourite one at the moment is RSVOD. I don't know, it's too early to say that one. You've got content distributed everywhere, the different platforms all working in silo and no one actually working together. So that makes it very difficult from our standpoint as the agency to consult to our clients to actually put forward a recommendation that, in our minds, can actually deliver upon their business objectives. The second side of things is the continual evolution of, I guess, technology. Stats around, I think yesterday someone mentioned we're over 60% TV, connected TV engagement or penetration within the Australian marketplace. So that's huge. That in itself allows for opportunities to actually change how we are measuring and how we are actually going to market. And I guess the third one really does talk to more around how we can actually define what TV is. Now, I think we had a bit of a chat previously. None of us could align with what TV is. If you ask my TV traders, they have one opinion. If you ask the Digi team, they have one opinion. And if I ask Parker, my six-year-old, he has a different opinion. He thinks it's YouTube, so that's a different conversation. And we'll touch on that one later on. But for me, this really does challenge in terms of how we actually can measure, get together and put forward recommendations to deliver outcomes for our clients. And I guess I'm going to take over the stage for a second because it's my chance to...
I'd just say it's probably a good time for us to actually define what total TV is, right?
I think so.
There's a slide which we can just put that up so that everybody understands where we're approaching it from. Yep.
Yeah. So this is the lens that we're talking through today. So You can break that down and take that how you, in your own personal devices. But sort of where we approach things is we actually sit down with all our clients to actually understand how they define TV, what their objectives are, and how they can bring the campaigns to life through this TV medium. The one thing that I did want to do with, I guess, a lot of power brokers and key people in the room, whether it be agency side, tech, networks, is really do a call to arms. So this is a big challenge. Our clients spend huge amounts of money in this medium. Let's get together, break down those silos and work together. You know, whether you're working at one of the TV networks, one of the measurement platforms, you know, the RSVODs, whatever it might be, let's get together and do this. I think that fell flat because I don't think anyone's going to actually get around and do that. So what this does, there's no doubt that there's actually no one's going to come together and do this because there's too much money at stake. You know, VOZ has its limitations, et cetera, and I might touch on that one later on. Or do you want to dive into that now?
Look, we do have to have...
We have other panellists.
..talk as well.
No! You said I could go...
obviously, there's other questions on this panel, yeah. So you can talk about VOZ a little bit if you want.
I think what this actually... Like, where we stand right now is that it allows for partners to supplement, to your point. It's not a one or be-all. It allows for other partners and providers that are independent, that sit outside of the actual need that they actually have and the representations that they have. Just for transparency, VOZ is technically owned by the network, so they've got their own respective opinions and needs for what actually is displayed, what is represented, and the outputs that come off the back of that. So that is one piece of the puzzle, and I think it's a very, very valuable piece. But it allows for partners like Samba TV, the ACR-based side of things, to actually help supplement and complement that data set.
All right.
I'll be...
where do you go from that? There was a lot in there to unpack. I think for us, like we have the same problems around defining a screen, and we do that individually with our clients. And that's one of the reasons why a screens mix is so challenging, is because it's nuanced and it depends on the vertical that you're actually talking to, and also the standard for quality that you apply to what a screen actually is. I think it's challenging because consumption has changed and it keeps changing. And if you look at the stats from the last 5 years, you know, there's things that get thrown around, like outside of live sport, you know, everyone's very into FIFA right now, some amazing numbers there. But with the exception of live sport, since 2019, no other program has topped above a 10 in Australia. It's not that audiences aren't on linear TV, it's that they're there and they're in other places at the same time. So you need to have that mix and you need to be able to measure it, understand it. And if you're a marketing manager, you need to be able to justify that to your board as well. If you are looking at spreading your investment into digital areas, then you have to have a plan to kind of be able to prove out that audience logic throughout your campaign.
Okay. Will, I might throw to you. How's Halftime approaching things right now?
Bloody hard. Like, I think the measurement side of things, for me, the logical extension is whether it's actually assisting in better planning. And I think from a planning point of view, it's harder now than it was 5 years ago. As Trent said up front, we've got, the decline of linear audiences. We've got, you know, the emergence of sort of fast channels, SVOD, AVOD, all the VODs. YouTube continues to go from strength to strength. It's really fragmented. There's fragmented measurement solutions. And there's no unified view. So, I mean, the best unified view that I've got as a strategy person is probably the old CMV and Roy Morgan Asteroids. They're not keeping up. They can't. You know, the way they collect panel data and their samples is going to be years behind. So it's incredibly difficult, and I think that admitting that to your clients and going on the journey with them is incredibly important. It's so dynamic, and it's going to continue shifting.
Can I just pick up a piece on the Roy Morgan side of things? I think as a consumer, we bucket people in, you know, are they a BVOD watcher, are they a linear watcher? If I went and asked my mum right now, she goes and watches, you know, 7 Plus, for instance, she's actually watching live content. She doesn't see herself as a BVOD viewer. So, like, when they're actually getting asked those questions, the data we've got at our disposal is probably inaccurate anyway. So we need something to actually be more robust and to provide that insight that we're looking for.
Now, the question I always have is just like, have you watched online video? And like, we can't even define what total TV is, let alone what a consumer considers online video. So it's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as a measurement provider, why is measurement so hard?
Yeah, I think in addition to what everyone said, I mean, viewership is splintering across all different platforms. There is an explosion of continuing content. I remember sort of when I first sort of went into data-driven linear, it was the golden age of television and never had the content been so great. You've got big-name Hollywood actors now on the silver screen. And, you know, content is continuing to just grow at a rapid pace. And you're seeing that across all platforms. You're seeing BVOD platforms becoming a place to go and access content that was old, that is now new again. You've got new generations consuming it. So it's very, very challenging. But I think the nice thing about what we are helping enrich the ecosystem is that you know, we're an independent data company, and what we're able to do is to work basically with anyone in the industry, such as yourselves, to help solve some of those challenges. So for those of you who don't know what automatic content recognition is, essentially we have technology that sit at the chipset level of smart televisions, hundreds of thousands of them, millions of them globally, and we are identifying 100% consumer opted-in viewership that goes across broadcast linear. So if we think about total television definition, broadcast linear, OTT and streaming, gaming, and also ads on the telly as well. So what we're doing is we're helping see some of those areas that perhaps have been challenging to see. And so with that, we're actually working with, whether it's brands directly, platform providers, broadcasters. We do work with a broadcaster here in the market. Agencies directly, we're helping them solve some of those challenges by providing sort of holistic planning, activation and measurement solutions. And I think when you talk about siloed solutions, everyone's trying to find a solution that sort of carries you from that start to end journey, and to be able to re-optimise that, to be able to become as efficient as possible. It's getting harder and harder. And there is no, I think, one single solution. I'm not here saying that it is a silver bullet, but it's certainly helping fill some of those gaps for organisations in certain ways.
That's probably a good segue into what we want to talk about now, right? So if we talk about, you know, Will's mentioned talking about Asteroid, you know, Trent's talked about Roy Morgan. If we want to understand the data sources that you're all using to kind of form that picture, Janae, where are you kind of going?
Yeah, I think first and foremost at Matterkind, it's very clear that right now what we need is platform specialists who are talking to clients about brand outcomes. And that's actually an enormous mind shift change within agencies far and wide. And it's something that we all kind of need to keep adapting towards. But when we approach screens, we start first with getting quite specific around how we're actually going to plan. So it's not new, but actually making sure that you're planning against your demographic delivery in linear and digital, and that you're then optimising towards that demographic delivery whilst live in campaign, but then also post-campaign. So you're adjusting your mix for things like, we know it's still really cost-effective to buy linear TV on 40+, but we know that you can't get the frequency in the 18 to 39 demographic on linear that some brands require. So you need to adjust for your share accordingly. And that's kind of the robust conversation that we have really regularly. But the extension of that in terms of using the platform is things like ACR. And every platform out there has some sort of version of incrementality. But what we've been able to do with the likes of Yahoo and Samba data is make sure that we're optimising that mix across demographic and also across the understanding that we have of household reach and the household graph that exists within that platform. So we've tested with a few clients, and one of the key data points that we have is with one of our clients out of Melbourne, Officeworks. And basically through the optimizations with both linear and digital within the platform, we were able to minimize the overlap between both of those channels to 0.7% using the capabilities in platform and ACR. And that's pretty phenomenal to get to that place of incrementality, but also to be able to provide that insight back to our clients.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Trent, I might throw to you.
Your sales pitch is done, mate.
I don't even have to do anything right now. I'm just going to throw you the question now.
Oh, okay. From Chimera's standpoint, I guess we've got all access to all the similar sort of tools that everyone else would use. We use Roy Morgan from a planning stage. We're leaning into Ipsos as well, just to see what the digital ecosystem's looking like. And then we tap into Voz purely from like a planning standpoint to understand what that investment split should be from a linear and BVOD standpoint. And I guess that's great because it gives us a starting point to actually commence our channel planning off the back of. Where it gets really interesting is we then start to use the Yahoo and the Samba TV data to actually optimise in-flight, not too dissimilar to what the team at Matterkind are doing, but actually being able to understand what that household duplication looks like, what the frequency looks like, what the overall household reach looks like, to actually give back a quantified cost per incremental household reach, which is really interesting. We're also utilising it from an actual optimising in-flight. So being able to shift budgets between the BVOD providers within that connected TV environment to try and minimise that duplication where possible. I think we're kidding ourselves if you're like brand loyalists to 7 Plus or 9 Now or even, 10 Play, you sort of dip and dive in depending on what content you want to look at. So, you know, that's how our consumers are actually engaging as well. So being able to optimise in-flight is where we're actually getting the best benefit off the back of the tools and data now. Sprinkling on top of this, so I don't know if Stu's in the room, but my chief strategy officer would be very disappointed if I didn't add this one as well, but we're also layering in things like attention plan on top of that to actually understand which platforms, which placements, and which lengths of ad are actually delivering the best attention for our clients as well. So being able to optimise and actually play around with what is giving the opportunity for our brand's message to be absorbed by the actual audience when they're paying attention. Fun fact for those playing at home, and if you want some stats, the CTV BVOD environment 30-second ad has 2x the TV attentive seconds. And sorry, Facebook, giving you room, but it's got 10x the actual attentive seconds for insight in feed video. So that one's for you, Stu, if you're watching at home. And then finally, the last piece for me around actually how we're actually utilising it is to actually then look at how we can invest that dollar for our clients to get their outcomes. The two case studies we've got for two brands that invest heavily in TV and BVOD, they've actually seen incrementality of 24 and 25% respectively of actually rolling out this approach. And that's only off a 10% investment of their actual shift from TV linear buy into the BVOD category. So that's a huge incremental reach and is worth its weight of gold just in that sort of instance there.
Nice. Will?
I'm the strategy guy. You took the A word off me.
Sorry, mate.
yeah, attention's really interesting. You know, not all impressions are created equal. Everybody's rolling that out. But I think the thing that's difficult on that lens, as much as there's, you know, more and more robust research coming out, a lot of it is funded by publishers. So it's difficult to pull it apart and critically analyse it. Look, I think Janae and Trent said most of what I'd say, you know, in terms of what we're using it for. We're using it in a really similar way, where we're looking and trying to optimise mid-flight to drive incrementality. So, for example, we have a retail client that typically advertises across 7 and 9, as you would. We made an optimisation mid-flight to really dial up the investment in SBS and because we saw the most incrementality there. So that dropped our average household cost by half, nearly immediately. So the use cases are really, really strong. 70%, 76% I think it was, gained incrementality over 6 months. The numbers are there. We're using it like that. I think that there's also a competitive advantage or a first mover advantage to use this technology to better plan linear television as well. You can find insight through this platform. And I think, you know, one of the benefits of being on the cutting edge, I suppose, is that we think there's a bit of value. There's some pockets of value to take this and negotiate with the networks from a linear capacity as well, which is a really interesting part of the market. Because as Janae said up front, we've kind of got digital people running into to linear people with a bit of a clash of ideas, and that's causing some really interesting food for thought.
That's a really good point that you raised, because if we're talking about what was going on with Officeworks, the results actually helped both sides of the TV
totally.
Kind of equation, right? Linear went up at the same time as digital from an incrementality point of view.
And I think it's minimising sort of the zero-tarp programming we're seeing as well. You know, there's stuff that's not captured through the OzTAMs of the world. So it's actually beneficial to some linear networks if they lean into it.
I'm going to throw it to you anyway. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. I was just going to go, and yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the benefits, I think, too. If you look at an industry level, too, a lot of industry players, in particular over the past 2 years, are leaning into ACR data as a technology provider as well to help enrich the industry solutions as well to find those additional audiences that are hard to reach that could potentially be deemed as statistically zero, when there actually are audiences there, even in Adelaide, like, you know, when sometimes
they love
there
TV.
Are some
what
challenges.
Are you talking about?
Absolutely. And that's the thing, and we've done some internal testing with that, and it's everything that the guys are saying on the stage, I love hearing, because it's exactly what we've been sort of talking about, you know, in Europe, in America, and it's so nice to hear that the same continuation of that conversation is continuing in this market and seeing the actual real results and real business outcomes. I think that's exciting.
So you know, you spoke about America there, you spoke about, I mean, you know, Samba's in Canada, UK as well. Australia, from a market point of view, is famously welcoming for new measurement partners, not less within the TV industry, but also in other industries as well. If we talk about Samba coming in 4 years ago, what were the challenges that you typically saw, and how did you kind of address that from a new measurement point?
Yeah, sure. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. So my background's in training, development and ops. I'm not your traditional sort of sales commercial director from sort of 2001, although majority of my background was spent on the broadcaster side. So a lot of the first 1 to 2 years were really about education, really sort of getting into the weeds, educating organisations from across all of the ecosystem around what are the challenges that we are conceptually solving. And that's hard when you talk about things conceptually. That's why I love what we're hearing right now. A lot of education was needed, and I think as we've progressed, the conversations and the questions are changing as well. We are certainly not in the business of trying to circumvent, nor can we, nor would we want to. Dave, who's my boss, was up here yesterday saying the exact same thing. We want to work with everyone. The use cases will be different. The challenges will be different. Some people may need us to fulfil the gaps in certain areas versus others. But that's exactly what we are. We're not interested in building sort of a big media business. And I think, and we sort of had that sort of strategy change quite early on the piece before we actually launched too. So that's why, you know, we partnered with technology platforms. And the nice thing about what I love, and what I love telling, you know, the folks back in the US, is that all of our partners here, Yahoo, The Trade Desk, MIQ, Paramount, they are all partners that started in this market first. And have since expanded. And there was a real appetite. So beyond sort of the US and the UK, big brand advertisers were constantly asking, you know, our founders and, you know, heads of regions, when are you coming to Australia? That was the third sort of hottest market to come. And it by certainly has been quite successful when you look at the expansion of, you know, growth that we've sort of had back up in to the region with those global brands and partners.
Because typically the Australian market sees a lot of the challenges that are going to exist ahead of the major markets as well.
Correct.
So,
correct. You know, and always want to be, and as we are an innovative market. And that was very, very apparent, I think, last year too, when our CEO and founder came down and said, you know, you guys are really, as an industry, you are far ahead.
Yeah. So you mentioned something to me earlier today as well, is that the other comments that he's made, and I feel like we have to say this because there's a little bit of a, you know, we're talking a lot about standardised measurement. What else did he say about the Australian market as well?
So he was, I hate using the word collaborative, but just in terms of, you know, the way that, you know, the market has come together, the advances that the market has made at an industry level, also the willingness for technology platforms, brands and advertisers to jump on board very quickly, I think, is really key. And I think as well, the reason why you need to do a lot of education, I think, with everything too, is that there are a lot of businesses here that are willing to disrupt themselves, their own business models, in order to take a leap. And it's about building trust with partners. Not everything goes right. Anyone that says it does is lying. And I hope that the relationships that we have, you know, you are going to be in the bunkers with certain folks, and who do you want to be in the bunker with? Hopefully some of you say, yeah, Yazzy or you know, Yahoo or your partners as you're figuring out stuff. But now that we are obviously so far, you know, entrenched and forward into the fold, it's now really about, oh, okay, well, what particular problem can you help us solve? How can we become more efficient? If we've got the same investment dollars to spend, how do we optimise our reach? How are we managing our frequency? How are we trying to find audiences that no longer are watching it, you know, over-the-air broadcast, but are watching it in other areas? And that's where we can certainly help brands to find those audiences, and also broadcasters to be able to quantify the value of those audiences too, which I think is really key.
So I'm conscious that we have 2 minutes and a 200 bit left, right? So the final question that we're going to talk about today. So knowing all of these different measurement pieces, how it all comes together, all of the different data sources that you are using, when you start to move to the point where you're looking at investment, you're looking at trading, how did those conversations then go with the market if you're using multiple different data sources on top of the standardized currency as well? I might throw to you first.
Yeah, well, it's an enormous change, right? It's not, it is, does impact trading, but it also impacts things like team structure and the way that we work with our clients. So in order to have multiple different types of measurement on a plan, you have to be able to explain that to a client, rationalize it, and then measure it as well. And then there's the impact long-term on what that means for your mass reach. So it sounds even crazy to need to say, but the reason that we need things like VOS and we need more standardized measurement in general is because we're talking about CTV impressions where there's large amounts of co-viewership across Australia, but we're still only counting that as one impression. You know, digital CPMs might come out as more expensive, but we're counting that. We're not counting the entire population that's actually watching that that ad or that piece of content.
And Trent?
Nothing too much to add to that, but I think the big call out that I will make is there's partners out there that are really a black box. There's no actual visibility. They keep all their inventory to themselves, YouTube, and doesn't actually come into play within this ecosystem to actually allow for us to plan. All of our clients know that it's such a big part of it, but they don't want to get involved necessarily and share that data. So I'm pretty sure that if they are in the room, Gilbo and I would love to have a chat of how we can integrate into the Samba TV environment and measure that across all of our campaigns.
Yeah, totally. No,
that was off point, sorry, yeah. But anyway.
You said you're going to be spicy. You left it to the end. Yeah. That's spicy. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Totally. Look, not too much to add. I think there's going to be a bit of a change in the way we trade, ultimately, and hopefully we get to the point where we can do it with a unified currency, because it makes our jobs a hell of a lot easier. On the other side, I suppose, the more complicated it gets, the more you need media agencies, so keep it complex.
Yep.
For an indie, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. Well, I think, like, you know, something we talked about, if you lean into it early, being a digital first indie, I think, it's a real competitive advantage. It's where the market's heading. We're going to get there. If you jump on early first, you can start to really, have that competitive advantage for your clients and for yourself. So lean in. We are.
Yeah, seeing that.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? So being a digital first agency, sometimes you exist in a situation where other agencies may be doing the traditional side of it.
Yeah.
How do you have a conversation around that when you're using a new piece of measurement like this that may go against what that looks like from the other agency?
I think it's been so organic for us because there's questions. Trying to get digital people to wrap their heads around Oztan it's a good challenge. But I think that it's been so organic and so natural that it's formed so it's so easily slotted into how we look at the world with being data-led and tech-first. It's been fantastic, to be honest. I'm a bit conscious of time. It's really aggressive, isn't it?
Just to extend, just one final piece from me. I think the indie side
of things... It's 40.
On the 41. Indie side of things, you know, it's a great place. We don't have those silos or barriers, so we can be more collaborative and approach on that side of things. And thanks, Sam. I'm doing a job if you're in the room as well from an IMAA standpoint. So we'll take some kudos for that later on, but anyway.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. I might just throw to Yaz to give a quick plug for her panel a little bit later.
Oh, yeah, if you want to win a TV, come back at 11:15.
Oh, wow. Why didn't we get a TV? Yeah, how come we don't have a TV?
Thank you very much for coming along, everyone.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's growing network of audio podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.